Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God expects perfection from you. And here is an unfortunate paradox. The harder you try to attain this perfect righteousness, the more impossible it becomes for you to possess it. Christianity is not logical. The gospel is a paradox. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, the outsiders, those not uniquely chosen by God to be a nation set apart, who did not pursue righteousness, who did not try to order their lives by the commandments or the Jewish ceremonial law, have attained perfect righteousness, perfect obedience to the commandments, and perfect standing as the people loved and chosen by God. But Israel, uniquely chosen by God from Abraham until Jesus, who pursued obedience to the commandments, who sought to be righteous by their works, failed to obtain that righteousness. This is the problem with the Jews. Already in Jesus' day, Judaism had shifted off its foundations from a religion ordered around the sacrificial system of worship in the temple and the forgiveness that those sacrifices foreshadowed, with a hope toward the day of God's visitation to His people, sending a Messiah to deliver them from bondage to sin, a religion founded on trust in God for His mercy and forgiveness. Instead, it had become a system by which they could stay in God's good graces by how well they obeyed the law. In theory, that's not a bad religion. It's easy to know what you get. Sin and get punishment. Obey and be a good Israelite. On paper, that works. But how many good Israelites have there been? Even if God's choosing had somehow set the Israelites free from the curse of being descendants of Adam, whose sin rendered all men lawbreakers, even if they were delivered from original sin, how many from birth have been perfectly obedient to the law? You don't have to read far beyond the prophet Jeremiah in today's Old Testament reading, but the whole Old Testament is a chronicle of a faithful, merciful God and His faithless, disobedient people. There is no one in the annals of the Old Testament history, nor in the extra-textual history of Israel, who meets the standards of perfect righteousness God set forth in the commandments. No one, except one. There is one real Israelite in the history of Israel, one who rendered perfect righteousness, perfect obedience. The law was never intended to make the Israelites righteous. It was always intended to make them dependent on the mercy of the true God who revealed Himself to them. But Judaism, by Jesus' day, had become works righteous nonsense. So drawing near to the city, He wept. He wept because of their perpetual rejection of Him and His mercy. He wept because this religion, so divorced from its foundation, was ripe for destruction. He wept because He knew some 40 years later the city would be destroyed and the temple would be razed to the ground. Never, ever, Zionists, be rebuilt. Would that you, even you, Jerusalem, had known on this day the things that make for peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you. And they will not leave one stone upon another in you, because you did not know the time of your visitation." Jesus wept because they completely missed the point. By pursuing righteousness through the law, they only further alienated themselves from God. Modern Judaism is even worse. Rejecting Jesus, they no longer even worship the triune God of the Hebrew Scriptures. This is the problem with the papists, too. Their religion has shifted from the divinely established foundations of God's gift of righteousness, a gift to be received, instead to the shifting sands of a righteousness to be pursued. The essence of being a good Roman Catholic is pursuing righteousness. Then again, this is the problem of American evangelicals too, who not only put the responsibility for salvation on the sinner who repents and believes in God, but also make the substance of the Christian life about living for God, pursuing His righteousness. The Protestant work ethic is caustic to the gospel. It's not Christianity. It's moralism. Work hard and God will reward you is the same religion of works over which Jesus wept. But who is immune from this kind of false thinking? If you examine yourself closely and honestly, you won't find it surprising that religions founded on the foundation of forgiveness slide off that foundation. Men always end up preferring to pursue righteousness instead of to receive it as a gift. This is the tendency of each of Adam's descendants. Left to your own inclinations, you will head in the same direction. By nature, you are inclined to think that the goal of Christianity is to get you to do the right thing. You're inclined to think that good Christians will naturally do good things. You tend to believe that it is better to appear outwardly righteous and good than to focus on the inner life of faith. Like the Pharisees, you categorize sins so that someone else's adultery is more damnable than your every other Sunday church attendance. Like the papists, you compartmentalize forgiveness so that you can pretend to have your sin and your Jesus too, repenting for the obvious, easy, outward sins, but holding on to the private ones, the secret ones, the internal ones, because they are your coping mechanisms. Like the evangelicals, you imagine that it matters more what you do now for God than what He continues to do for you now, to you, and for you, in His Word and sacraments. Like Adam, you want to pass the responsibility for your misdeeds onto others. Hide the truth of your transgressions beneath a veneer of fig leaf piety, and argue with God about the wisdom of His proscribed limits. Like all men, you want to pursue righteousness on your own terms. Stop it. Repent. You cannot attain righteousness that you pursue. But there is a righteousness that pursues you. The only faithful Israelite, the one who possesses perfect righteousness, perfect obedience, perfect submission to His Father's will, came to seek, to save, to pursue the lost. He drove out the money changers and the priests alike, cleared everyone out of the temple that had so shifted from its foundation so that this hollow shell of works righteous religion could crumble and crush Him. All the law's accusations, all the damning evidence about those who put their trust in their own works, all the sins of the sinners fell upon Jesus instead. He destroyed the temple of works by his death on the cross. He is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. He is the visitation of God to his creation. He is the thing that makes for peace. He is the righteousness that pursues you. His righteousness alone is what fulfills the divine requirement for perfection. Those who do not pursue a righteousness in Christ attain his righteousness by faith alone. This righteousness is given to you purely as a gift. In baptism, he covered you with his righteousness. In absolution, he declares you righteous. In his supper, he feeds you with his real righteous body and blood to exchange your sin for his righteousness. His righteousness pursues you. It finds you. It claims you. It changes you. This righteousness is only attainable by faith. Faith is only attainable as a gift. The perfection God requires is only attainable as a gift. So here, your Lord has gathered you to lavish his gifts upon you, to make you perfectly righteousness in himself. Here is a foundation on which all your hopes may be built: Christ and his mercy and his forgiveness. Nothing you can do or must do could obtain for you God's favor. But he has shown you his favor by giving Jesus as the final sacrifice for all sinners throughout time and space. His righteousness will suffice for you for eternity. In Jesus, you are free from having to do anything, fulfill any obligations, earn any false God's favor, impress anyone. In Jesus, you are forgiven and righteous. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.